welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right, well, again, good morning. Welcome. We're going to go ahead and start this morning in a psalm, Psalm chapter 34. This is such a wonderful, blessed psalm of promise and hope. It goes like this: I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. You know, it sounds a lot like that song we were singing, just praise his name. You know, sing your way up to the mountain, dance in the midst of the rain. Just that heart, that attitude, that worship toward God. And we see that concluding verse: I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. That's an interesting thought right there, that you can on purpose seek the Lord, he hears you, and in response, he delivers you from all your fears. Not one single fear left over. A complete freedom and deliverance from all fear. We see the psalmist expressing that hope, that possibility in God. In the New Testament, we see this. This is the Apostle John. He says, there's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So here we see kind of two thoughts. I'm just kind of putting them back to back, Old Testament, New Testament. The psalmist, he sought the Lord. Lord heard him, delivered him from all his fears. And here we find out, man, there's just no fear in love. It's not that love isn't approached by fear, but love does something when it's approached by fear. It casts it out. There's a reason there's no fear in love. It's because perfect love does something. It casts out fear. It dispels it. It's not a lucky, charmed life. It's something very intentional with the power and the Word of God, the reason why there's freedom from fear. And so this morning, the title of the message is going to simply be called Facing Your Fears. All right, we're just going to really literally take fear head on. Fear is something that is not, the thing that really is bad about fear is this little tidbit, this little side part here, where it says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Fear involves torment. This is what makes torment is the thing that makes fear so painful. You know, there's a bazillion phobias in the world. You know, you can think of every kind of phobia you can think of. The thing that every phobia has in common, the common denominator of every phobia, is fear has torment. Whatever your quirky little fear is, if it's fear, it's tormenting. It's like, oh, could it be? Is it? Is it not? Da, da, da. I don't know. That's what fear does. And the problem with fear and the problem with learning to live on top of fear is because a lot of times we'll end up medicating that torment with works of the flesh and different things like that. Things that will just kind of go, oh, relief from the torment. And what's a cool thing is when you get free from fear, you can get free from a lot of stuff. Because there's a lot of things connected to fear. There's a lot of things that we do as coping mechanisms to try to medicate the frustration of torment. But I'll tell you what, when you begin to say, I'm going to love the Lord God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, you just go after God with all your heart. You want every part of your heart, all the real estate of your heart and mind to belong to him. Then all of a sudden things change. And you can't just learn to live on top of fear and learn to live on top of the torment and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You realize that you've got to face some stuff. And facing fear is not fun in your natural thinking because, number one, it's going to get you out of the routine that you're in, that you've learned to have, to cope with, to deal with fear. It's going to involve a shaking of your routine. I'm just believing. You know, we'll say at Door of Life, there's the sermon that I'm preaching. That's the sermon. But then there's a second sermon. And that's the sermon the Holy Spirit is preaching to you in your own heart. You have the anointing, the Holy Spirit, who will show you stuff about what I'm saying that's just between you and Him. All right? And this is going to be a kind of a message again this morning that is going to be a lot of heavy lifting done on that second sermon. So don't just listen to what I'm saying, but listen to what you're hearing. The Holy Spirit telling you about what I'm saying. Because this gets very personal. This is very personal stuff, I know it. But I'll tell you what, this is where there's some amazing breakthrough stuff too. This is where God gets so real. And it's because I'll tell you, when you're delivered from fear, when you're fearless, that's the most dangerous person to the enemy, is the fearless person. Because the enemy just uses all kinds of fear to keep everybody at bay. But you get somebody who just isn't afraid. I mean, you get the Apostle Paul, he said, yeah, persecutions and afflictions await me. Things could happen. I don't even count my life dear to myself that I might finish the race that is set before me. Just fearless. You get somebody who's like that. God wants us to be fearless in a way that's going to cause us to get done what He wants us to do and to get us free from a bunch of junk that He doesn't want us to live under. But there's a couple things that happens if you're going to face your fear. You're going to get out of your routine of the way you do things. You're not going to reach for things. You're not going to do things. You're going to be doing something different this time when that fear comes. And it makes you vulnerable. It's going to make you vulnerable to God in a good way. Vulnerable to put your faith in Him. Vulnerable to trust Him. See, the lie and the deception of fear is that that fear is somehow protecting me. As long as I can do these things, that I'm either medicating it or I'm protecting, but there's going to be something different where you're just going to be trusting God. Oh, yeah. But it's going to be the thing that is going to break the power of fear off your life. And as I'm talking about this, I'm not talking theory. I'm taking you by the hand, and the stuff I'm showing you is stuff I've walked through. All right? So buckle up and let's go. Because we're going to get through some stuff. We're going to break through some things. Things that have held you, they're going. They're going in the name of... It's amazing how God just waits for people to get on His word. He could wait for hundreds of years and hundreds of years, and somebody says, oh, the just shall live by faith. And the whole world stops. God is just waiting for us to just look at what His word says and do it. It is going to be amazing. I believe in my heart. God's just going to show you some basic things. They're not going to be even new to your theology, but just what we prayed this morning, just that revelation of it will really penetrate our hearts this morning. So, facing your fears. How do we do that? How do we face fears? We know we got to deal with them. There's a few things as we're facing our fears that we've got to do first. First of all, you got to face God. You got to face God with your fear. And we know the story back in Genesis, when man fell, what happened? At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together, covered themselves. When they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." Fear makes you afraid. Shame. Fear causes shame, all right? When you're afraid, all right, when you're afraid of something, there's a shame that goes along with it. It could be a shame, I did the wrong thing, now I'm afraid of God in this context, in this situation, all right? And so I'm running away because I'm feeling ashamed, I'm embarrassed of what I did, and therefore I'm afraid because I was naked. But these things work together, shame and fear, fear and shame, all right? There's a strong connection. And this is why Jesus came, and we looked at this before, Hebrews 4:15. Now we have a great high priest who understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of our same testings that we do, Yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So we find that in the same way that Adam and Eve, they sinned, they fell, they were separated from God, they were ashamed, and God said, "Where are you?" You'll notice that when they were in fear and shame, they could not approach God. But now through Jesus, in the middle of our fear and shame, knowing that he's been tested with everything that we've gone through, we can come boldly, verse 15, to the throne of grace, and there we will receive his mercy, and we'll find his grace to help us when we need it most. Now that's one of the joys of the gospel. We know that. We got that. I think last week we talked about the mediator. We've got a way to the Father through Jesus Christ. We can approach him now because of what Jesus did for us. So we've got someone who gets us. He understands our weaknesses. He faced them, all right? He faced them and beat them, all right? And so we face him, we miss it, and now we need to face God so we can face those things. But we can go to him. Praise God. Now, kind of keep that thought in mind, because what I really want to do now for the rest of this message is I want to walk through a very familiar passage of Scripture to a lot of us who are at Door of Life, and that's Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8. All right, because I know that in this passage of Scripture, there is a tremendous process that God gives us to be able to face our fears. Now, on that Philippians 4, 6, it says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Now, the reason why I bring this verse up is because God, when I was just in my heart, like I said, I'm just walking through this with you, I've had the Lord deal with me about fears. And I can just tell the Spirit of God is saying, it is time. We got to deal with some things. It is time. And the picture that the Lord gave me, as you know, you kind of try to put that voice out, and no, later, tomorrow, next week, da 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 da. And then all of a sudden, it's like I saw a picture of the Lord standing on Philippians 4, 6, saying, "Ed, where are you? Where are you?" I have to say, well, I was afraid. I was ashamed. Fear causes shame. You're afraid? Well, that's weak. You have an insecurity? Oh, shame on you. You should be stronger than that. You should know the word better than that. You should be more secure in who you are. Shame on you. You got that fear? Oh, so you're very quiet, you're very private. You don't let anybody know that you have that little fear. This is the stuff that we can live on top of. Me too. And this is the stuff that eats our lunch. He said deliverance from all our fear, right? Not just certain big ones, but all of our fears. All of our little worries, all of our little anxieties. In fact, this is the way it's put in 1 Peter. It says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." And here's the Amplified. "Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully." And I love this in 1 Peter, because you see in verse 6, before he tells you to cast your cares on the Lord, he says, humble yourselves. It takes humility to say, I'm afraid. Bummer. Wish I wasn't. Wish I was more secure, but I'm not. I need help. Can you humble yourself and do that? Or do you got to keep all your cards and look cool and look secure? We're talking about going somewhere in God. We're talking about this stuff unlocks a bunch of other stuff. A lot of other flesh stuff will go when this stuff goes. Pushing through till every lie crumbles. You're dealing with every little... I mean, you have a no-fear tolerance. There's no fear in love. It has a zero-fear tolerance policy. And when you start loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, you begin to realize, oh, fear starts to show up. You realize you're living on top of stuff. I don't want anything. I don't want to be afraid of anything. And it's not an ego thing. It's not a swag thing. It's a distraction. It's a distraction to me hearing what the mind of the Spirit is and what God is telling me to do. I don't want fear. A zero tolerance policy. I don't care how big or how little. I want all my anxieties, all my worries, all my concerns.
cast over on him. The reason why how perfect love casts out fear is because we cast that care on him. It's not that we're not approached with fear, but we cast it. We take it and we do something with it. We're talking about facing our fears. The first thing we got to do is we got to face God. I got to run to Philippians 4, 6 and say, here I am, Lord. I was afraid. I was embarrassed. I've been ashamed. Yep. Insecure. Yep. But no shame. Why? Well, praise God. I got a great high priest. He's faced all the things that I do. And he come boldly before the throne of grace because he's sympathetic. He understands. He understands our weaknesses. He has a shared feeling, the Amplified says. He's sympathetic, the New King James says. He gets us. In other words, don't be ashamed. Don't feel embarrassed that you got that insecurity, that phobia, whatever it is. Face it. I mean, if perfect love casts out all fear, I mean, it's free, fear free for a reason. Because it's Philippians 4, 6. It's not running away. Ed, where are you? Here I am, Lord. Philippians 4, 6. All right. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to face it. I'm not going to be ashamed of this thing anymore. I'm coming before God and saying yes. And this is where it's important. He doesn't say, don't worry about anything, period. He said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. The New King James says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. So what are you doing? It's not shame on you, you're afraid. Shame on you, you're worse. Shame. No, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. As you're overcoming anything, no shame. See, yeah, I got a fear. I don't care how big or little it seems to you. It's a big deal to me. It's eating my lunch. God, I need your help. And so I'm coming before you, Father. I'm coming boldly. I'm not just coming, I'm coming boldly. No, you've got a shared experience with this stuff. You passed the test. I'm struggling, and I need your help. And so I'm needing help. And what does he say? He says, pray about it. Pray about it. So in other words, it's not just that I'm acknowledging. He says, pray about it. It says prayer and supplication. It means literally definite request is what it's talking about. So I'm coming up before the throne of grace, and I'm saying, Father, I have a fear. And this is where you articulate it, all right? Sometimes when you get here, you can feel like, oh, I'm just casting the care of it on the Lord. Lord, just take it, and you got it, and I don't have to think about it. I'm not going to get into my head. No. You need to get what's in your head out. There's coming a time, and just the next verse, there's a peace that'll pass your understanding. But for right now, you need to pray your understanding. God gave you your understanding. You're afraid and you know why you're afraid in terms of what you fear could happen or what you could fear. This is what I'm afraid of, Father God. A, B, C, here it is, this situation, this relationship, this thing. I'm just praying it out, Father. These are things that just seem strange, are weird. It'd be a financial situation. I don't know what's going to happen. And people doing certain things and da-da-da-da-da. I don't know. There's things I don't know. Whatever it is, you got to get in the second sermon filling in the blanks here for you guys. But just begin to let this, just begin to show, whatever that is, shamelessly. I have a fear about this, Lord. I need help. I want to be delivered from this. I don't want this distracting me. And so I'm going to declare it at the throne of grace. I'm going to make definite requests. I'm going to cast it upon you because you care for me. This is where I'm going to absolutely do something about it. There's a reason there's no fear in love, because perfect love casts out that fear. That perfect love has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Spirit perfect love does not commune with fear. You haven't been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And so there's something in you that doesn't like that, that wants that out for a reason, because God wants to speak to your heart. And so in this first place, in this first area that we're just simply calling, facing our fears, is we've got to be able to face God with it. And what am I doing is I'm casting the care upon him. I kind of like to put it this way. You're kind of putting, you're putting the ball in his court. You're casting the care upon him. You know, at Door County, we have something called Fear Ball. It's not spelled F-E-A-R-B-A-L-L, but Fear Ball is a Door County thing. But think of this as, I've got this Fear Ball. I am taking it and I am casting it upon the Lord. I'm putting the ball in his court. I'm not denying, I'm doing that. That's what I'm doing. Now, I don't deny that that ball exists. It exists. But I've just taken it and I've put it in his hands. I've articulated from the best of my understanding what that is, and I'm telling him what it is. I'm casting it upon him. Don't worry, but pray. Declare, Father, I'm praying. Here's what I need. Here's where I need help. So that's what I'm doing on that side. I'm putting that hot potato in his hands because it's not a hot potato for him. He cares for me. He's not afraid of my stuff. He's not afraid of anything I'm afraid of. Praise God. So I can put it in his hands. Then we go on to that next area, and this is where I'm simply calling it facing yourself. All right? I've faced God. I've done what he's told me to do. I've taken this thing, and I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed. I'm shamelessly going before the throne of grace and saying, here it is, articulating what that is. I'm putting that ball in your court. I'm doing what you told me to do. That's all I'm doing. I'm doing the word of God. And so once I've done that, there's a great promise that follows that, and we saw it before. He said, don't worry about anything. He said, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he's done. That's, again, kind of the follow-through, just thanksgiving. That's praise his name in the dark places. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The message says, before you know it, this is verse 7 again, a sense of God's wholeness. Everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. What is this? This is the promise that we get in this passage of Scripture, that as we let our requests be made known unto God, that there is a peace that passes our understanding. I pray out my understanding. That's all I can do. Apostle Paul said, I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll pray with my understanding. Thank God for good understanding. It's a blessing, and we use it, and we pray out of that understanding. But then something happens when we do that step of faith of verse 6. Then you'll experience God's peace, which surpasses anything we can understand, and it'll guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As Paul was writing this, he knew that as we prayed, that the next thing that we would need is we would need peace to keep our hearts and minds. In other words, I've cast that care on the Lord. Oh, that feels really great for about 5 seconds, all right? Now I need something to keep my heart and mind there longer than 5 seconds. All right? He knew that. God knew that. Spirit of God knew that. So now I need verse 7. I need a peace that passes my understanding. I've prayed, but now I'm letting that peace that passes my understanding keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It's saying you'll experience it, but there's another scripture along that same line that tells us something more, gives us another angle on this peace. And this is in Colossians. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. The Amplified says, and let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were called to live and be thankful, appreciative. There it is again, thanksgiving, all giving praise to God always. So what we're seeing here is that as we're facing ourselves, we've done, you know, we face God. We've told him the situation, and God promised that he would do something for us. He promised to give us a peace, but there's something that God can't do for us and something that we have to do as we're facing our fears. We have to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We've got to let it rule in our hearts. We've got to allow that peace. In other words, there are conscious decisions that we're going to have in our mind as it relates to our understanding and the peace of God, okay? Let's take a look at, this is the way I like to put it, because this is the point of attack right here, where you experience a lot of the attack. And we read this beautiful scripture, and we go, wow, don't worry about anything, pray, tell God what you need. And then you'll experience God's peace, which passes all understanding. Guard your heart and mind, Christ Jesus. And you really do experience that at a moment you pray. But to stay in that place, you got to realize this is where Satan is attacking you, very specifically. He is fishing
for you with thoughts and suggestions. He's trying to catch you and bring you back into your understanding. This is where thoughts in your mind are fighting you to go back, to worry, to think about that and try to do it over or try to think what. And so you get this push and pull between the piece of, am I going to trust God or am I going to get back in my head? Am I going to trust God or am I going to let the peace of God rule? Now, I know this is easy to think, just stand up here and say, hey, just let the peace rule. Hey, cool, next point. This is where the battle is. But I want to encourage you this morning. God knows that. God understands this, that's going on to really let the peace of God rule. Because as you're letting the peace of God rule, stuff is changing in you. You're not just letting the peace of God rule. Let's bring in another scripture along these lines. James 1 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? No, it's interesting. He's very specific about why we should count it all joy. Why? I'm going to count it all joy knowing something. Knowing what? That the test of my faith is producing patience. Well, that's good, but what's the big deal about producing patience? Let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives it all liberally and without reproach. That's what we were talking about before too. But don't you see that verse 4? It's describing a place in God. Count it all joy because there's a place in him where you're perfect and you're entire and you're wanting nothing. As I'm letting the peace of God rule, I'm letting patience have its perfect work. As I'm seeing those lures, if I'm the fish, and I see the enemy throwing his lures in the water to get me to bite and hook me back into my understanding again, but I'm passing on the lures. Man, I hit that lure for 20 years. Nope. I'm going to let the peace rule now. Oh, that's all right. It's good. Patience is having a perfect work. Something's going, but in the end, it's going to make me perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I'm by faith going to a place in God in this push and pull that I've got that's going on between the peace that passes my understanding and my understanding. I'm trying to pull me back in here. Because when Satan gets you back over here, this is where he whips you up. They always tell us at Bible school, they say, man, if Satan can keep you in the arena of reason, he'll whip you every time. But if you keep him in the arena of faith, you'll whip him every time. And this is what pleases God. This is what pleases my God. He's pleased when I walk by faith. He's pleased when I trust him above my own understanding. There's a world that mocks it, but my God doesn't mock it. And he's given me his spirit to bear witness to truth. And he's saying, this is right. This is good. And not only that, but something good is going on the inside of me. This is a wonderful proverb along the same lines. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So what's going on in here? What's going on in this Philippians 4, 6 through 7? I'll tell you what's going on right there. It's like you have given it to God, whether it's a hot potato, whether it's a ball, or maybe it's just, you know, he's in charge. All right, maybe it's in the oven right now and it's cooking, all right? It's in his court though. You know, I've kind of thought of that too, where sometimes I'm just trusting God, you've got it, but wow, my mind is kind of going in a lot of different directions, but I'm trusting you, I'm letting that peace rule, and there can be a temptation to want to, you know, go and check it out and see how it's going, and you know, if it's like, and that's kind of the way the Lord put it, it's cooking, it's processing, I've got it, I'm carrying it for you, and where I've kind of felt him, because I want to go in, I just want to see how is, you know, in it's kind of like we're too many cooks in the kitchen, too many chefs in the kitchen. Trust me with this. I've got this. My understanding wants to get in there, but he's just saying, nope, just trust me, I've got this. Let that peace rule. Let it rule. There's a humbling in this, but there's a grace. For that humble. And there's something happening to you. You're getting perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Because you get to where you can do this. You get to where you learn to trust him. You get to where you say, no, I'm going to let that peace rule. It's almost like a peace barometer. If something is going off the peace barometer, no, this isn't peace. This isn't right. I'm not going there. And you learn to just let that peace rule. Let patience have its perfect work. Father, I'm going to come back to you. One of the great ways that you're going to be doing this, staying in the peace, this is where you're just singing those songs. You're getting on that word of God, declaring the word of God. Praise God. But you're facing, what I'm saying, in this place, you're facing yourself. This is where you're facing yourself between letting the peace of God rule or going back into your understanding, saying, nope, not biting on the lures. I'm going to stay with the peace. And then finally, this is really where I want to get to ultimately, and that's where you're facing the fear. Because once you have faced God, you're not ashamed of the fear anymore. You've let the Lord know. You've articulated it out to him. You've cast it upon him. And you're endeavoring to stay in that place of peace. Then, this is something else 1 Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And this is the very next verse. You'll notice Peter doesn't say, in the peace of God, what passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind. He says something else is coming next too. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. This is after you've cast your care. Walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. That's all of us, right? But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, after you've let patience have its perfect work, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So as I'm doing this, there's kind of two things that are going on congruent. As I'm endeavoring to stay in that place of peace, I know that there's an enemy. And we kind of talked about this before as far as the fishing tactics and whatnot. But you're facing yourself to choose to stay in the place of peace, but at the same time, there's a battlefront that you've got with the enemy because he roars. Like I said, you experience that peace for about 5 minutes, 5 seconds even, and then you're hearing roars of fear. Roars of the thing to get you back into your understanding. You know, there's just something, though, about not being ignorant of Satan's devices. When you realize the big picture spiritually what's going on, it's like, okay, all right, I've prayed. I've asked God. He's got a peace. I'm going to stay in there, and I'm going to fight to stay in this place of peace. There is going to be an adversary who's going to try and roar. And it's, what does it say in verse 9? Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. And as we resist him, this is how we're going to do it. There's a few things that we're going to very specifically do as far as facing that fear. Philippians 4, 7 through 9. Now, this is kind of the follow-through of that whole passage. Then you will experience God's peace, exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned, received in me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. In other words, you see that follow through from verse 7 to 8 is now fix your thoughts on what's true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. So what is this? This is the thought. This is what gives me the permission to really begin to think on things that are, when you think of verse 8, it's a quality of thought. There's not a whole lot in this world that meets all those qualities in verse 8. You're going to get into the Word of God. You're going to get into prayer. You're going to get into the things of God, the things that God has blessed. And so what are you doing? You're setting your mind up. You're setting your mind on things above where Christ is. And so that verse 8 is really how I'm gauging this attack, you know, that's coming against my mind as it relates to fear, because now I'm facing the fear. I've faced God. I've faced myself. What am I doing? I've made a decision. Ed, you are going to go with the peace. You are going to go with the peace. And when those distracting thoughts try to get in your understanding, if you've got to say it out loud, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I'm trusting God. I've prayed about that. Because let me tell you something about deliverance. Deliverance isn't just fear be gone in Jesus' name. That's it sometimes. Sometimes the deliverance happens through the renewing of your mind. And when you're saying, I'm not going there, I'm not going there, I'm not going there, you're letting patience have its perfect work, and you're going somewhere. And your mind is being transformed, you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And with every I'm not going there, there's deliverance being worked in your own mind and thought life right there. And so you realize how he delivered me from all my fears. Yeah, he did. He'll do that through in Jesus' name at times. He'll show you. And other times, it's being true to his word. And the cool thing about that kind of deliverance is that's where you're letting patience have its perfect work. It's a lure for a reason, because it's luring you. You're attracted to a lure for a reason. And when you say, no, I am not going to allow that attraction anymore to that escape, to get back into my head. I'm staying with God. I'm staying with his word. Patience is getting worked in me. I'm walking in the Spirit, and there's a work of patience that's happening. I'm going someplace. I'm not going to stop, because I've stopped here, and we all have, and get a spiritual victim complex. No, I tried, and da-da-da-da-da. I'm not doing that. I'm staying here. I'm going to let patience have its perfect work. I'm not going to be weary in well-doing. If I've got to sing and praise all night long, I'll sing and praise all night long. I'm going to stay here, because the word is true. And he is my God, and this is his word to me. And so what am I doing? I'm going to keep my mind on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. I'm being very discriminating about what I'm allowing in my head. It's going to have to line up with that verse 8. And the enemy, you know, he goes about as a roaring lion. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. They're powerful through God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is what our weapons do. This is what we do. This is where we're transformed by the renewing of our mind right here when we let these weapons work. And Timothy says, God isn't given, and this is, I'm just going to kind of give you a couple scriptures here. When I get in that place and I got the roars of the enemy roaring down on me, he wants to engage you mentally. He wants to engage your reasoning. This is where humility comes in. Because you can tell that roar, it's loud, it's angry. There is malice, there's anger in it. There is fear in it. And in the sound of that voice, you are saying, you are not having to engage him. This is something the Lord's told me, I've said it for years, spoke very clearly to me. He said, Ed, you don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion. He's not the boss of you. You don't have to engage his reasoning. It's tempting for our pride. This is where humility comes in. I'm just saying, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I'm setting my mind on what I know is true. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear and timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline. Didn't give me a spirit of cowardice, craven, cringing, fawning fear, but he's given me a spirit of power and love and a calm, well-balanced, and self-disciplined, and self-controlled mind. That's what he's given me. That's true. What I'm hearing might be partially true, partially false. This is purely true. It's all true. Okay? Romans 8, 14 through 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In other words, he's given me his spirit, and it's not a spirit of fear. So I can know right up front if something's causing fear, it's just not God. That's one of the ways that I resist him steadfast in the faith. I resist him with the word. And when I say the word of God, I don't just mean think about these. I mean speak these out. Declare them. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That's one way you do it. We have a message just on declaring your independence. Part of it is declaring the word of God. Some of the songs that we were singing here this morning, I just think that praise your name has been a blessing of a song. You can sing. The Bible says, the psalmist said, he gives me songs of deliverance. In this spot, you're singing songs of deliverance. He's fishing for your understanding, and you're keeping it on the peace channel. You're keeping it on the God channel. As you're declaring the word of God, as you're singing those songs of deliverance, you're staying here. And it takes a deliberate effort. There's a reason there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts it out. It does something about it. It stands up. There's things worth fighting for. Having a life that's free from fear, it's worth fighting for. It's worth resisting. It's worth taking the time to do this. And so one final thing that I just want to get across. as it relates to this, you know, we're declaring the word of God, but as the enemy does this, and this kind of gets into those little subtle parts of the enemy where he tries to get us back into our understanding, is his wisdom. The scripture says, if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. This is where you're checking your thoughts. Is it pure, peaceable, gentle? Or, you know, is it, he said, true, honest, just, that Philippians 4:8. But here, no, I see bitter envy, self-seeking, don't boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. When you get here, when you're facing fear, you face God, you face yourself, and you're facing the fear, you're facing the roaring lion, and you sense anything of that about yourself, this is where the Holy Spirit will help you to be honest with yourself. Because this is where, in your own heart and mind, when you're reasoning with fear, you know, you're the good guy, somebody else is the bad guy. You've got issues, all right? And you're working things out, and so the enemy will come along and play on your side. He is your advocate. You are the most hurt, horrible, this is injustice. And he'll come and roar things to your heart and mind. And if the trajectory of those thoughts lead you into a place of bitter envy and self-seeking and stir you up, the scripture says it's not God. It's a false thing that the enemy is doing. You know what it is? It's really like a, let me put it this way. A lot of times when he does this, when it's roaring thoughts, it's shame and all that, you can tell by the voice when it's the enemy. There's two things. There's the voice and the content. Jesus said, my sheep would know my voice. You can know the voice of the enemy when it's really loud and roaring and blaring and it's like, okay, that's not God. It's just not peaceable. But Satan has those counterfeit soft voices too. All right? Real coming, yeah. Yeah, man. Just really, nobody gets you. Nobody understands you. It's just, you know, you're in a place. And what happens is, see, the Bible says we have a great high priest. He can sympathize with our weaknesses, and he gives us mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. And he brings us forward in God and gets our hearts trusting in him to cast our cares on him. Satan, that's a godly sorrow. There's a sorrow of the world that leads to death and destruction. Satan will come in there and he'll whisper those thoughts and will lead you to despair and destruction, and this checkmate, and there's no way out, but he'll say in such soft coach tones. We bring every thought into captivity, especially the soft coach toned thoughts. We judge the content of what's being said. Because right here, when you're trying to get free from fear, there is an enemy who speaks with a false sympathy, who hates you and wants to destroy you. He'll pretend to take your side. And he doesn't care about you. I mean, there's whole groups, you know. Well, we know that, you know, Jesus was a good man and all that. And that's nice. But very soft, kind. You better listen. Not just to the sound of the voice, but to the content of what's being said. Satan mocks God. He mocks gentleness. He mocks kindness. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And you have to listen through the soft-toned sheep layer. And if you say something that's contrary, a lot of time the wolf will come out. Because there is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Say, no, Jesus Christ is God. He is Lord. He is King. I will never go down some path that tries to make me feel a certain way that denies the truth of the Word of God in Jesus Christ. Ever. He is the truth. And if you want to get unraveled with lies and fears, you got to be on the side of the truth. And that's the cool thing about the wisdom that's from above. You'll notice the first thing about the wisdom that's from above, it's not that it's kind. It's not that it's even peaceable. The very first thing about the wisdom that's from above is it's pure. If it's just 0.00001% lie, it's all a lie. It can't be 99.99%. That's not good enough. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He's pure. And this is where you're going to get free from fear. Because I bought into things, and man, that's really close. But eventually, even though it's just little, eventually I get down to where I'm just, confusion and every evil work. It's got to be pure. It's got to be pure. It's got to be peaceable. It's got to be fresh from the throne, all right?
It's got to be, you got to hold out. You're holding out for a wisdom, pure wisdom, true wisdom. And I'm staying here until I, because here's the cool thing. When you hold out and you wait for the wisdom of God and the Holy Ghost, that anointing who's on the inside of you, and I'm just going to take the last one, second one, but the anointing which you've received from him abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you. That anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and it's not a lie, just as it has taught you, and you'll abide in him. And when you wait for that wisdom, man, there's truth that makes you free. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, continue it, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Not partial. It's 100% pure. And when you get the pure thing, the Holy Ghost says, that's it, that's it, that's it. And you go, yeah, praise God. I'm glad I waited. Hallelujah. I see you. You can point things out. You take authority in the name of Jesus, but you see something. Because you get determined. I'm going to stay there till I get it. Man, I'm facing fear. I'm not afraid of fear. I face God already. You know, I went before him shamelessly. Ed, where are you? Okay, Lord, here I am. Philippians 4:9. I'm coming back. I don't got this. I need you. I need to talk to you about this. I need to clearly express, yeah, this has been bothering me. This has been harassing me. This has been something that's taken me off of my faith and trusting you. What am I going to do? I'm going to on purpose cast out fear. I'm going to take authority over that thing. Perfect love casts out fear because we as believers cast that care on him, knowing that he cares for us. Yeah. When we cast that care, there's two things that happen almost simultaneously. From God, there's a peace that passes our understanding. From Satan, there's a roaring lion that's going to contend it. And we know that the roaring lion's trying to get us back into our understanding, so we perpetually live in this fear year after year after year. And some point, you realize, nah, not this year, not again. We're getting off this merry-go-round for good. Because there is a peace that guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. And I realize that I can stay here, and there's a promised wisdom. He said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally, and it will not be withheld. And what does that wisdom sound like? It's pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. And you'll notice this thing, man. It is pure, peaceable, gentle. It's willing to yield. You know that insecure wisdom? You can't even hear the other side. You got to talk on top because you're insecure. When you're peaceable, you can hear the other side. Let them be heard. Give them the satisfaction of being heard. And listen to what the Spirit of God is saying about what they're saying. Praise God. That's the wisdom that's from above. It's right. You know it's right. It's so secure. And it's not because you're so secure. It's the wisdom of God and the peace of God in you. It's going, wow, this is really cool. Thank you, Lord. Glad I waited for this. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. It's full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. God gives you a wisdom that shows your stuff and their stuff together. He goes, wow, cool. I'm not just all the perfect person. They're not the devil, and I'm God, right? I mean, his wisdom is pure. You're honest. You go, wow, yeah, there's some stuff. I could see what I said. Yeah, it's totally. Man, I got to come clear on some things. Cool. Thank you, Lord. I see that. See, God's wisdom isn't sympathetic where you're always right and the other person's always wrong. Poor you. No, he's very clear. There's no darkness in him at all. None. So I'm waiting, saying, Lord, show me. I want that pure wisdom. It's full of mercy and good fruits. You could be mad about something, and the answer is, yeah, you got to forgive. Oh, yeah, I got to forgive. You know, just forgiveness will just set you free. You know, but he'll show you. He'll show you, oh, I see I need to forgive. Well, I would have got it right on a test for years, but I see that I need to forgive, and that's what makes me free. Because when you forgive, then you're open to the wisdom that's from above. When you stay in a place of bitterness, it's hard to hear this, but he'll show you, just forgive. Then you'll have ears to hear the next stuff you need to do. It's without partiality, without hypocrisy, sown in peace of them that make peace. And so you're going to see that is your face in your fears? You're going to come before God? You're going to face yourself? Yeah, I got this battle. I know I got it. But man, it's worth fighting for, and I'm going to resist fear. I'm going to resist it with the word of God. I'm not going to engage the enemy. He's not the boss of me. I don't have to bring closure to his stuff. I'm just going to go with the truth. And in the truth, I'll see truth. Looking unto Jesus, that's who I'm looking unto. He began the good work. He's my boss. He's going to complete it in me. And as I'm doing that, I'm listening for pure wisdom of God. When you ask of God, when you're letting patience have its perfect work, you're letting patience have its perfect work with an expectation that I've asked God for wisdom, and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to stay here till I get it. And then what we do, then we do those things. When you get that, he'll give you something to do. And even when you see something, he might give you something to do that's a step of faith, but I'm telling you what, in the doing of it,
and the humbling yourself. He shows you something. That's between you and him. This isn't me telling you to do anything. Holy Spirit shows you to do something. You do that, and the God of peace will be with you. And you walk through a fear like that, and it's like, wow, praise God. It's like cracking the code. You can walk through anything because he's with you. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. He corrects you with his wisdom, and that's comforting. Oh, yeah, praise God. Awesome, thank you. And thank you that you're a loving Father. You love me enough to correct me. You experience his love in his correction. Because then you find out more about you. You're not just, see, Satan has you built up as you're perfect and the other. No, I need an honest revelation of where I need to change. And God loves you enough to show you that. And that's where you're changed and you're transformed by the renewing of your mind in those changes. And fear doesn't have a grip on you anymore because of those humble changes you make. You got to let patience have its perfect work. You got to see that place of being perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to a place in God as I do this. And in that place, praise God, Satan doesn't have a chance. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of Jesus that you've given us what we need to overcome any fear that comes against us, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the amazing promise that you've given us in Philippians chapter 4, 6, that we can be anxious for nothing, but we can, through prayer and supplication, let our requests be made known unto you. And this is our heart cry this morning. Go ahead and make this your confession of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you. I come before Philippians 4, 6. And I want you to know, I want to give you everything in my heart. Help me to speak it, to articulate, to get what's in me out, to cast my care on you. You're a safe place. You don't shame me for having fear. You welcome me to express my heart and with my understanding let you know what's bothering me. As I do that, you give me a peace, a sense that you've heard me, that you're with me. And that peace keeps my heart and my mind steady in you. And I work with that peace. And I protect that peace by casting down anything that's contrary, no matter how loud or how soft, it will be brought into the obedience of Christ. I want your wisdom, Lord. Correct me. Show me anything I need to let go. Help me, guide me, and bear witness to that wisdom, that truth that you have, that truth that makes free. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, that's one of those things, one of those truths. Like I said, the second sermon had to do a lot of the heavy lifting this morning. But I'm just trusting, you know. This is the stuff. I love that. I like how Peter said it. You're going through, you got the roaring lion, you got all the thing going. No, the same stuff's going on in your brotherhood in the world. One number one thing that lion does, he tries to isolate us, make it feel like I'm the only one. You're not. We're all going through this stuff. We go through it together. And I'll tell you what. God loves you. He's for you. And you can find brothers and sisters in Christ too sometimes if you're going through things. It says, I think it was in James, confess your faults one to another. You can find somebody else to get on the same side of some things with you and be there and hold you and love you and agree with you as you walk through some things together. You don't just have to do this by yourself. You can find some good, godly people that'll love you and help you to walk through this. Let me know too if there's anything I can ever do to help you walk through, overcome some things. But I'll tell you what, God loves you. I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fear. There's no fear in love for a reason, because perfect love
takes the time to take a stand and to cast it out. Amen. Praise God.